It is now 6:20, and this is 1320 WILS. I'm Michael Cohen. So, look, the big breaking news this afternoon is the Congressional Budget Office, their analysis of this new health care plan, and it finds that by next year, by 2008, we could see 14 million fewer Americans with health insurance. By 2026, 24 million. Should we trust this? Let's ask Orrin Cass, senior fellow and former domestic policy director for Mitt Romney's presidential campaign, and I should say senior fellow for the Manhattan Institute. Orrin, thank you for joining us on WILS.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, the Congressional Budget Office, a nonpartisan office, how accurate are they?
Well, being nonpartisan and being accurate are very different things. I think they certainly do their best to be objective and be as right as they can. Their track record, especially on something as complicated as healthcare reform, is quite poor. So I think their analysis gives a lot of good information, but it's not likely to actually be a prediction of what's going to happen.
When you say quite poor, how poor is their analysis?
Well, you know, I think if you take the last healthcare reform, Obamacare, in 2010, you know, they tried to project what would happen to coverage, and in particular to how many people would pick up insurance, and they were way off by about a factor of two. Okay. So
they said there were going to be like 21 million people insured by this year, or last year, I should say.
That's right. So they thought a lot more individuals would go onto the exchanges and buy insurance plans, and in fact, about half of middle class families who could be getting subsidies on the exchanges just didn't even buy the plans because they didn't want them.
Okay. So when their analysis says this new plan is going to lead to 14 million fewer Americans insured by 2018, do you believe that?
Well, I think especially with some of the short-term effects, they're likely to be more accurate because they can see, okay, right now we have this program, we're spending money on this. If we stop, for instance, the exchanges, that's going to have an effect. So they tend to be pretty good at projecting what happens based on what the law actually says, based on, you know, they can figure out exactly how much a tax cut costs or how much spending cuts are going to save. But then if you try to look out 5 or 10 years and say, what's the actual effect on the healthcare market? What's going to happen to costs? What's going to happen to the kinds of insurance people can buy? You would have to know all of those things to know exactly what's going to happen.
Right. No,
and they can't figure that out.
Orrin Cass with the Manhattan Institute here on WILS. I should know Democrats say the report, I mean, even seeing that number, 14 million by next year, that should be enough to stop the plan from moving forward. Where do you think we're going to head from here then?
Well, look, I think the plan has a lot of problems, and a lot of the problems with it are actually a function of the way Republicans tried to play games with the CBO. They tried to design the plan to get particular results from this analysis, and obviously they didn't actually get it.
What do you mean by that? What were they doing to try to manipulate the numbers then?
Well, it's not to manipulate the numbers, but in other words, they had a goal of saying we're not going to leave anybody uninsured who was insured, for instance. So they then had to try to design a particular kind of tax credit and a particular provision so that if you don't have insurance, this is how you get it, et cetera, et cetera. And what you ended up was, frankly, something that looks a lot like Obamacare in a lot of ways. I think for conservatives, they kind of have to decide either they're going to make their peace with the Obamacare approach, which is to spend a lot of money and try to buy insurance for everybody, or they're going to do what would, I think, be more conservative and say, look, the problem here isn't that we're not spending enough government money. The problem is that the healthcare system is completely broken. Insurance is unaffordable. People can't even get the kinds of insurance they want, and that we actually need to change the way the healthcare system works. And that could be a very effective reform, but that's not something that you can do a quick analysis of and figure out exactly how many people will have insurance or won't have insurance in 10 years.
Because part of the plan, right, is to give people, like tax incentives essentially to get insurance on their own? Is that the idea?
Yeah, that's right. So you get a tax credit for buying insurance. They expand health savings accounts, which means you can save more money tax-free to spend on your own health care.
And what's wrong with that? I mean, the idea of giving tax credits to buy insurance, what's wrong with that idea?
Well, there's nothing necessarily wrong with the idea. The question is, how do you calculate them? So what Obamacare does is it looks at how much a person can afford and basically makes up the difference between that and the cost of insurance. And if you do that, then you can pretty much say we're going to make it so everybody can afford insurance.
Mm-hmm.
If you give everyone a tax credit but don't calculate it to promise everyone can buy insurance, then you're always going to find examples of people for whom it's much more expensive, for instance.
Okay. The assumption is what? Under the tax credit system, costs will go down and then more people will have access? Is that what they're thinking?
Right. So the goal would be to say, instead of trying to have it so that everybody gets this gold-plated insurance and the government picks up the tab, what if we actually had a market where there were lots of different kinds of insurance and you could decide everyone would have a tax credit big enough to buy a catastrophic plan, meaning it would take care of them if they had a serious disease or an accident. And then people can also save their own money tax-free for smaller expenses.
Okay.
And then people can also decide to buy different kinds of insurance if they want to spend more on it.
So,
it would look more the way everything else works, yeah, instead of treating healthcare so differently.
Okay, the choice between this plan versus keeping Obamacare in place, which would you choose then?
Well, you know, I think I would split it in half. On the Medicaid side, I think this plan has some very important reforms. You know, Medicaid spending has been growing out of control for decades. It's really kind of taken over our safety net and all of the other ways we could be helping the poor.
Mm-hmm.
And this reform gets a handle on it and says let's kind of make sure we're spending that money wisely and not letting it grow too quickly. Okay. So that reform, I think, is very good.
So
it
repeals the Medicaid expansion, essentially, and it would replace it with the tax credits? Or?
On the Medicaid side, it repeals the expansion eventually, but then it creates what's called a block grant. So it says instead of states deciding they can spend any amount, and no matter how much they spend, they get more federal money as a reward, it says here's how much federal money you're getting for each person,
mm-hmm,
and use it wisely. And so that's a way to make sure that states still get help for their low-income populations, but they have an incentive to actually try to keep costs under control.
Okay. And you said the second half, how would you handle the second half of this?
So the second half is the individual market. For people who aren't low-income, don't qualify for Medicaid, and might want to buy insurance. And that's where Obamacare sets up, you know, the mandate that you have to buy insurance and the exchange to buy it on and the subsidies for it and so forth. And that system isn't a very good one in my view. It forces people to buy very high-cost insurance. It makes the whole system much more expensive.
Okay.
But it is a way of getting everybody insured, or at least moving in that direction.
Are you saying you'd essentially leave that mostly in place then, that part of it?
Well, if given the choice between that and what is in the current proposal, I think the current proposal really just makes that system a little bit worse. It kind of takes the same structure but makes it less stable. So I think if you want to really reform it and go in a more conservative direction, you have to be more dramatic. You have to be willing to stand up and say, the goal here isn't to promise everybody great insurance that they can buy even if they wait until after they're sick to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
The goal here is to actually have a good market that works the way markets everywhere else in our system work.
Realistically, do you think we're going to get to that point, though?
It certainly doesn't seem like it. I think from what Republicans have put on the table, it seems like they were kind of caught in the middle. It's also tough with President Trump, who isn't really a conservative and has himself said that his goal is to show that everybody has insurance, not to make the system work more efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
So I imagine what we're going to end up with is something more like the Medicaid reforms, but then for the individual market, just creating a little bit more flexibility. So more options for the kinds of plans you can buy, more options to save in a health savings account.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like they don't really have a path to a significant change there.
Okay. So in essence, is the CBO right? We'll see something like around 14 million people that actually suddenly won't have insurance out of this?
No, not under the if what I was describing were to happen, you wouldn't see that at all, because the Medicaid changes don't go into effect right away.
Okay.
So people who are on Medicaid would stay on Medicaid, and over time, you know, starting after 2020, states would have to start to figure out how to use their money a little bit more effectively.
Really, it's the Medicaid expansion, that's where the $14 million comes from, repealing that, is that it?
I don't believe so. I believe that the Medicaid expansion in the current proposal doesn't go away at least until 2020. The drop-off is on the individual market side, where all the people who are getting big subsidies today under Obamacare would not get as big a subsidy under the proposal.
Oren Kass, Manhattan Institute. Oren, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Good talking to you.
This is WILS.